Thank you for coming, Mr. Heckendorn, Mr. Jones. We found this message on a website forum. Perhaps you can make something of it?
We'll try.
Let me finish this beer first.
Nevada Development Proceeding. Acquire a circuit board, J Minor, U.S.
Nevada is one of the possible resting places of the Lost Landfill.
You mean the actual Lost Landfill?
Yes, the actual Lost Landfill. The spot where Atari dumped millions of prototype machines and unsold E.T. cartridges, if you believe in that sort of thing. Didn't you guys ever go to the Midwest Gaming Classic? Good news, they want you to get a hold of the prototypes before the fanboys do, and they're prepared to pay handsomely for it.
Good, I can buy more Xbox games.
I'm really rather envious. 5 years ago, I would have gone after it myself.
But you're not much older than I am.
Yes, but your last name is Jones.
In a world where everyone is looking for a bunch of old games.
I need one of the circuit boards your father designed. It leads to an important spot in Nevada.
Miner's dead! Get out of here!
Throw me the circuit board, I throw you the weep!
How stupid do you think I am?
Do you want it or not?
Fine.
One man must stop playing his Xbox long enough to save the human race.
The circuit board only had traces on one side. Are you absolutely sure?
Yes, it was a cheap Chinese knockoff.
Then it's all messed up.
They're digging in the wrong parking lot.
And even though he's not really cut out for this sort of thing.
Jason, why is the floor covered with zits?
Fanboys. Why'd it have to be fanboys?
He's the best chance we've got.
You found the landfill. That's quite an achievement. But I found it too. So again, the gamer score record that was once briefly yours is now mine.
No!
Why don't you tell me where the circuit board is right now, or I'll replace your Wii with an Intellivision.
No, I'll talk. I'll tell you everything.
Yes, I know you will.
From George Lucas at Paramount Pictures.
What does the circuit board tell you that it does not tell us?
It tells me that shrink-wrapped fanboys like yourself should spend more time playing games instead of collecting them!
Comes a film of non-stop action.
If you still want the prototypes, they're being loaded onto a truck for Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania? That's where every eBay auction is located.
They plan to sell them online.
That crap belongs in a museum.
A passionate tale of love.
You're not the man I knew 10 years ago.
It's not the years. It's the gamer score.
And a message of faith.
I'm gonna blow up the prototypes, Renee.
You want to see them running as well as I. Your Xbox is but a footnote in gaming history. This is the gaming history.
Don't look at it, even if it's Miss Piggy's Wedding or Sword Quest Airworld. Keep your eyes shut!
The graphics, they really aren't that beautiful!
Don't miss the feel-good action hit of the year.
Trust me.
Raiders of the Lost Landfill.
See you tomorrow, Jason Jones.
Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 31, Mysteries of the Unexplained Edition.
I am Andrew Ryan.
One unexplained mystery is why do we keep saying that?
You just can't go wrong with it.
That was a hell of a game.
Or I am truth.
I am having a bowel movement. You think in Halo after Keith David stabs I am truth?
Yes.
And then he does that victory growl. It always seemed kind of weak. Because he's just like, rah!
That wasn't very Keith David.
I know.
I think they had a stunt voiceover for that.
He's got to give that growl a real name.
That's right. He didn't just take it out for the air.
Well, anyway, on this podcast, we're not going to talk about anything technological at all. Well, we might, but we're going to be talking about Mysteries of the Unexplained. I don't know exactly why I thought of doing this, but I thought of doing it a few weeks ago, and here we are.
Well, didn't we, like, kind of branch off into it in some podcast, and then some people said, hey, that'd be cool if you guys did that? I don't know. It's entirely possible.
Yeah, I think that one might have been, like, two podcasts ago.
It's kind of like the food topic, you know?
The kind
public
of
spoke,
into all,
and so we listened.
So, yes, we do read your comments, I guess, is the moral of the story. Well, before we get into that, games we've been playing, our new feature. Ooh. Well, I have been playing the Orange Box. It was yet another one of those cases where it's like, oh, I guess I'll buy this.
Yes.
Yeah, I think next year I'm going to have to, like, ease up on the games. It's
oh,
like,
come
so
on.
Many goddamn games.
Oh.
Anyway, I
You owe it to your public to play games.
Anyway, I hadn't played Half-Life 2 before, so I got through that. And then I played the episode 1 of Half-Life, which I didn't think was all that great. Episode 2 is a lot better. I haven't beat it yet. Portal, I thought was quite cool, and I really haven't played Team Fortress 2 very much. But... Oh, and I've also been playing some Halo 3.
Of course.
You?
Well, Halo 3, of course. Doing some multiplayer, and I think we polished off Legendary in the campaign somewhere in there. Co-op and over live. Then I, too, got the orange box, and I haven't really played it much, although last night I did polish off Portal, and I've, for some reason, I kind of got the bug back where now I want to dive back into Half-Life 2 and play through it now, and I likewise haven't played Team Fortress 2 yet, but I'm sure I will eventually, maybe even tonight, because somebody on my friends list said they were going to set up some matches, so... And then I did play Shadowrun also, which I managed to buy off eBay for like $20, so I figured why not. And
you had that last time, didn't you? Or...
I didn't play it at all until just like last week. It had been sitting there since Halo 3 had come along, of course. And but I popped it in and played through all the training chapters, which are offline, and then went online. And it's actually a lot of fun. It's the multiplayer's, you know, damn near as fun as the Halo 3 multiplayer, I think. It's got a lot of different stuff to it. Like, you can actually equip your guy with different magical and technical abilities, and be able... You can, like, teleport through walls and ceilings and floors and stuff, and there's a lot of strategy to it, and thing, like, more so than with Halo 3, I think. And I was really...
And people are playing it?
Yeah, there is actually a lot of people playing. I was surprised, considering... how crappy the sales were for it, but...
Well, were they crappy? I mean...
I think it sold, you know, like maybe a couple hundred thousand copies, which, I mean, isn't horrible, but, you know, when you're looking at a lot of these games getting up around a million and stuff, it's kind of low, but especially for an online-only game, which I think is part of what really hurt that game, is that it has no real offline component.
You're right. That really hurts games like World of Warcraft.
Yes. World of Warcraft's a little different beast, though, I think.
Yeah, that's true, because this is just like a game where you fight people and shoot people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what turned me off from it originally. I saw some trailers and things for it back earlier this year, and I'm like, oh, that game looks kind of cool, and then I found out that it was just strictly online multiplayer, and I was kind of like, eh,
well, so
is
Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, but that's included in the orange box, so...
Good point.
Everything else in the orange box is single player, so it gives you a nice balance. But yeah, so that pretty much sums up what I've been up to, I guess. So.
RE, the orange box, when I played Team Fortress 2 a few times, I'd kind of forgotten how online on the computer was, and it seems like it's, you know, I had to go through the list and find a server with some people in it and blah, 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 and it seems a bit clunky compared to the Xbox. There you go, I said it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's definitely some advantages to Xbox Live, there's no doubt, so.
Mm-hmm.
The one cool thing, too, about Shadowrun is that it, and much like Team Fortress 2, from what I've read, it rewards you a lot for playing as a team. Like, it's a lot harder to just be this lone gun running around, you know, doing everything. You really have to kind of team up with some people on your squad and to maintain or to capture objectives and things like that, which I thought was pretty cool. Because, you know, like, Halo 3's got some team-based stuff, but you can pretty much just run around on your own and just raise hell, and which is cool in its own way, but I think it's good that there's these other games.
I guess
that are
the term
for
that is pub star, pub meaning public server.
Hmm. I see.
I mean, like a lone wolf.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shall we move on to a few news items we have before we get on to the mysteries?
Sure.
I'll let you take this first one since you're Mr. Guitar
Hero.
Or...
Not really. I suck at it, but. I can't even 5-star everything on medium, but whatever. I'm close, like 4 away.
So that's what is nice, it? But what about this news item?
What is the news item? I can't read from over
you can't
here.
See
I have
that?
Shitty eyes. Rock Band will come as a standalone disc this fall, yes. And actually, another news item would have been, because we probably didn't touch on it before, was that Rock Band was going to originally just be a bundle only with the drums and guitar and microphone and all that crap this year, and then next year they would split it up, was the original announcement.
Oh, that sounds like, what's the term? Money grab.
Bait and switch.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah, but then they, I don't know if they just kind of held this back to judge reaction or whatever, but now they have said that at launch of the game in, what is it, November 20th, I think it comes
there'll
out or
like
something
a,
like
a
that?
A retail disc of
there
it?
Will be just a disc version, so the people that have like Guitar Hero 2 right. already will be able to use their guitar with it.
Yes, exactly. What's the point of allowing those old guitars to work if you're not going to make that an option?
Yeah.
So.
And it would have cut off quite a bit of sales, because like, I was pretty interested in the game until I heard, oh, you can only get it as the bundle. It's like,
well, again, they could have pulled something really low and said it only worked with our new guitars, but they didn't.
Yep, which is cool.
Not being proprietary like some companies named Sony or Nintendo. I just read this next one today. I was on GameSpy, an interview with Infinity Ward, RE Call of Duty 4, which I'm not excited for at the moment.
Nor am I.
But if, in that game, you can get kind of like battle perks or whatever. You can level up your character.
Yeah, and then you get better gear and
or you can overhear conversations. You know, if you're near the team, you can hear their communication. I guess one of the perks is going to be called the Martyrdom perk. And if you die, you drop a live grenade as you're dying.
Okay.
So basically, it's an anti-teabag.
Oh, nice. It's kind of like a suicide bomber, too. Although, I guess you're already dead.
Well, right. So, you know, as you know, whenever possible, I will teabag people in Halo 3.
Yes.
So if I try to do it in Call of Duty 4, I might get a nice surprise.
So this will be revengeance.
The dead
right
corpse
away.
Will be like, get ready for a surprise!
Yes.
All right, well, I'll let you take this next one, since you were all about it when the news broke.
Oh, yes. I thought this was interesting. The NPD or whatever, they're the ones that tally all the official console sales and game sales stats. And lo and behold, for September, the Xbox 360 was the top-selling gaming system.
That is such
all.
A shock.
And so I guess there was, or that kind of proved that there were actually people out there waiting for Halo 3 before they jumped in. It sold like 528,000 units.
It still didn't like trounce the Wii, though, which is...
No. But it outsold it, which, I mean, they had a huge, like, gaming just in general had a huge month, because the Wii had its top sales since it had been launched. It sold, like, 501,000 units. And then the PS3, well, they probably don't really want even people to talk about that, but it only sold 119,000. And, yeah, it was a pretty big thing, because that's the first time another console has topped the Wii since it came out. And it's
yeah, it's too bad their attach rate sucks, and it's basically just a pong machine for the current generation.
Yeah.
Think about it. Everybody buys it, but all they do
and
is
play Wii Sports.
Right, that makes it a pong machine. So once all these like non-gamer demographic people are tired of it, guess what? It'll be Black Friday.
Yeah, well, and like even I read some article a week or so ago, and even a bunch of third-party Japanese developers were talking about how they just thought that the Wii was a fad still. And that's even, you know, the homeland developers there are saying that.
They
know?
Just have really good commercials.
Yeah. And their first-party stuff is, you know, pretty good. But no, that's the problem. All their first-party stuff is what sells.
Well, I had some people post comments on the site, you know, what they'd like to hear us talk about. And one guy had a pretty good list, so I kind of just CC'd that into our outline here and took out some that I had never even heard of before. I know that's kind of selfish, but what am I going to say? I looked up a couple on the internet before you got here to see if they were kind of interesting, and some of them were. So the first one on the list is The Mothman.
Yes.
Now, there was a movie, Richard Gere, called The Mothman Prophecies, in which Richard Gere and Laura Linney...
Laura Linney.
Yep.
Kick-ass Laura Linney. Getting in there.
Yep, Kongoing it up. Perhaps some people out there have seen this movie, but it's a pretty good movie. I'd actually heard the legend before I saw the movie, and the movie actually follows it pretty closely. The only difference is in the real story, it was in the 60s, and it was like a reporter that went out there, not a Richard Gere, and basically went out there because he heard stories about the place. He didn't just end up there mysteriously as he did in the movie. But of course, you know, they had the MacGuffin with his dead wife. You got to have a reason to get someone out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So basically, you saw the movie, so that's...
Yeah.
Except for, like, the beginning of it in the hospital and the car wreck. The rest of it's pretty close to the original story and in the 60s, so... What's your take on it? Are the Mothmen aliens or super robots or moths?
Moths that are also men. I don't know. It's I don't know. It's kind of a. I remember thinking it was a very interesting story, you know, and that I could definitely see where people would take it to heart in that part of the country, since it seemed like a lot of those things, you know, happened under very suspicious circumstances, and. Sucked. I was going to watch the movie again before we did this, but I didn't get around to it, so I haven't seen it in, like, probably 4 years, whenever the hell it came out, but yeah, I don't know. I am a big believer in aliens, but I don't know if I would say that the Mothman was an alien.
Well, we have aliens later on in the list, so.
Because I totally believe aliens exist. It's like, if people think we're the only thing in this universe, they're kind of silly, so.
Yes, I think statistically, you know, people, you know, didn't think they'd find anything when they came over to North America either, mm-hmm. but they did. Well,
yes.
As far as I thought the movie was cool, but yes, as far as what they were, yeah, maybe they're aliens, I really don't know. I mean, you could also go into one of those Hollow Earth theories, maybe there's some creatures from the middle of the Earth or something.
So it's like Gears of War. You got the Locust Horde down underneath. Or
nice!
I'll have that.
But,
it's a Mothman horde.
Well, the thing with the Mothman, you know, in the movie, they talk about Mothmen being in history and, you know, showing up on cave paintings or whatever. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe it is.
Yeah, they might have embellished there, but...
But other than that, I think it's kind of an isolated incident. It kind of happened over the course of, like, a year or 2 years in a place. I think it was the same state, like Ohio or whatever.
Yeah.
But, unlike a lot of these other things, like, you know, like Bigfoot or aliens, it was kind of an isolated point in time when this happened. So I don't know if that's a clue or what.
So maybe it was aliens just stopping by on vacation. Maybe, who knows?
Yeah, they're like, we're getting tired of hanging out in Nevada. We're gonna go over here now.
Yeah, we're gonna go screw with the bridge, and it'll be a good time.
So yeah, I guess it's not really a very well. It's not very ubiquitous, you know, like aliens or
yeah.
ghosts or Bigfoot, so I don't really know what else I can really say about it.
I thought it was kind of interesting that they did choose to make a movie out of it. You know, it's like this lesser-known...
urban legend.
Urban legend type thing, yeah, out there. So it's kind of cool that they made a movie about that, you know, instead of making a Loch Ness Monster movie or Bigfoot movie or whatever, you know. Kind of... bring a little-known legend out to a larger audience.
Well, let's move into the next one, then. Well, this guy puts down lesser-known Bigfoots like the Sasquatch, but isn't that just the Native American word for Bigfoot?
I think so, yeah.
So, Bigfoot. Yeah. What's your feeling on that?
I don't know. It's freaking Bigfoot. I like Terry and the Hendersons, but... I don't know, it's, I guess something like that could exist.
Oh, well, a lot of people say, you know, why have we never found a skeleton?
Yeah, but...
But you hear about this sort of thing all over the world, you know, in the Himalayas, they have, the Yeti, and they have something in Russia, it's probably, I don't know what it's called, but there's also a skunk ape, which is the Deep South version of Bigfoot.
Really?
Yeah, it's called skunk ape, it's basically like a Everglades Bigfoot.
And it smells?
Yes, it does.
Nice.
I guess that's where it gets its name.
Hmm.
Well, you know, when I grew up, I lived in the country for a lot of my younger life, and I would, like, tromp around the woods, and, you know, you don't, like, see a lot of, like, deer skeletons in the woods.
That's true, yeah. Where the hell do they all go?
And,
I suppose all the hunters kill them, right?
Hardly.
That's what somebody would, you know...
Yeah, right. That's why there's too many of them. They're chronically wasting.
Yes.
No, but, I mean, just think about it. I mean, you don't really...
Yeah,
you think that'd
find...
be a fairly decent-sized skeleton. And even if all the critters ate the guts, the bones would stay around. But you don't really see it very often. Like, sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Not that I go traipsing around the woods a lot, but...
I used to.
It's not something you hear very often where anybody finds a skeleton of much of anything.
Have you ever heard of the famous Bigfoot Patterson footage?
Is that kind of the usual, kind of like archival, like, 60s video.
8mm.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it was in the 60s. Okay. It's basically the Zapruder film of Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I think it was in Colorado or something. There's like this river with a bunch of rocks, and it's like a 10-second video of this, well, basically kind of a Bigfoot-type thing walking across the river, but it almost looks more like a big ape rather than like a Chewbacca.
Okay.
But...
Oh, and it could, you know, who knows, it could have been somebody dressed up in something, because mm-hmm. the video is not that clear, really.
It's...
Right? I mean, it's not fairly bad, but...
clear, it's... I mean, you pretty much, it's pretty much there. It's not like it's a dot or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it could still be someone dressed up, so, right. Of course, the thing is, you know, everyone's like, well, let's have a video or a picture of this thing, and then if you ever produce it, then it's obviously must be a hoax.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Kind of like flying saucers.
Right. this guy also put down anything to do with Planet X, and I wasn't exactly sure what that was, so I looked it up.
Oh, that's the fabled planet that's like, isn't it like between our orbit and Venus's or something, isn't it?
Actually, Planet X predates the discovery of Pluto, I looked up.
Yeah.
And it was from like the late 1800s or early 1900s, they detected a variation in Neptune's orbit, which suggested a larger body beyond it.
Okay, that's what it was.
And that was given the moniker of Planet X. But then I also read, kind of as a debunking, that this was obviously long before the Voyager spacecraft passed the outer planets. And once the Voyager passed Neptune, they were able to give a much more accurate estimate as to its mass. And once they had that, they realized that its variation in orbit actually didn't exist.
Yeah.
Therefore, there wasn't an external planet affecting its orbit.
Yeah, that's right. There was that one. And there was one that was like either between our orbit and Venus or Venus and Mercury. I can't remember which.
Oh, really?
They called it Vulcan, actually.
But that one would be so much closer to us than Neptune. I mean, Neptune's a long-ass ways away.
But yeah, it was like supposedly this planet they thought was there for quite a while, but then they wound up proving that nothing was there. But it was, I think it was kind of the same story as Planet X. But yeah, I believe they referred to it as Vulcan, even, which I don't know if that's where they got the Spock... home planet from for doing Star Trek, you know, I don't know, but yeah, so.
I do think it kind of sucks that Pluto is no longer a planet.
I think that's fucking horse shit. It's just goddamn lame.
I read one of the reasons for it when I was looking up Planet X. Apparently there's a bunch of junk flying around in the area of space, kind of like an external asteroid belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the Kuiper belt.
Yep. And I guess since Pluto was not able to clean that up or, like, amass it into its planet...
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't count as a planet or something.
It's lame. And then it also has the goofy orbit, which they say makes it more like a comet or something than a planet, because it's, like, way off from the rest of the planets.
Well, the asteroid belt, that's... I can't remember. Is it between Earth and Mars or Mars and Jupiter?
It's between Mars and Jupiter.
That's kind of a missing planet, too, I would suppose,
because
it didn't form into one.
It's like I told my wife, though, I'm like, well, our kid's always going to get that question wrong in school, because I'm always telling my kid that Pluto's a planet. Screw this shit. I just think that's so lame. It's a goddamn planet.
Oh, some guy gets his name in the books for, you know, demoting Pluto. That's what that's all about.
It's got a damn moon. Screw him.
Okay, the next one I have here...
Goddamn scientist.
Ultraviolet, which I think is spelled wrong.
That's a horrible movie, too. That should be a mystery of the unexplained. How the hell did that get made?
I'm telling you, the biggest mystery is why hasn't Mila Jovovich been in a Uwe Boll film? Yet?
Yeah. I would like to get to the bottom of that, but...
Anyway, ultraviolet imaging of ghosts and UFOs with digital cameras... I don't know if they mean ultraviolet or infrared, because I've heard of infrared spectral imaging. By that I mean, you know, like, oh, I'm sorry, not spectral, specter imaging, whatever it would be called.
Spectral locomotive.
Well, as far as the UFOs are concerned in this, I don't really understand. But the ghosts, I suppose it's possible. You know, we can't see in the infrared range. So maybe you could see something with the camera.
Well, they do that stuff with the audio, right?
That's where actually coming up a few... We'll cut a few ones down, we can get to that later. Well, I have a theory, because I have all these harebrained theories. I mean, you've probably you know, heard that they say, like, animals can see things, or animals will see a ghost, or a cat will be scared by something that's not there, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And they also say animals can see infrared. I tested that once with my parents' dog. I took a TV remote and put it up to her eye and pushed the button, and she reacted to it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I've shown you that. You know, if you take a remote control, and if you look at it with the digital camera, and you push the button, it lights up on the viewfinder, because the digital camera can see in that range. Which is also why people seem to think digital cameras can find ghosts. It's possible. Because it uses the CCD.
Okay.
But who knows?
Charge couple device?
Yes. Very good. All right. Our next mystery of the unexplained is junk DNA. I had to look this up, too, because I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah.
Apparently, 80% of the human genome doesn't do anything. It's just, like, junk DNA.
Well, that's from when we evolve.
Yeah, but then this person seems to think it was because we are bioengineered by, I would assume, aliens. And it's, like, leftover bloat code, kind of like Microsoft.
Nice. Could be.
I would think, well...
It kind of goes back to my whole thing that some... I kind of think that we're just like this petri dish that the aliens are fucking with, and we're like this big experiment they've got.
I think that's very likely,
and they
actually
come back and check on us every so often. That's why you get these UFO sightings and this different crap, you know. It's, they just, you know, found this planet, and they're like, eh, let's screw around with it and see what we can make happen. And
wouldn't we do the same thing if we could? And we probably will someday.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, throw some... Make some goo and throw it onto a planet and watch what happens and think we're really cool for doing it.
Yep. So maybe there might be some truth to that.
I think it's quite possible. But yeah, so let's say, you know, these aliens had something like, you know, Windows, and it's kind of bloated with code.
Well, they did have Windows in Independence Day, remember?
No, it was Mac, remember?
Yeah, but they used, like, a virus.
But
you know,
they used
on
a Mac
Windows
to get
machine.
On there, didn't
oh,
they?
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, here's your electronic voice phenomena, the EVP, which is the idea that you can hear ghosts on audio recordings, even when there's no sound there that you hear.
You actually tried this last year, right?
Well, we didn't, like, specifically have tape recorders, but we didn't hear anything either.
Okay. You didn't take a dog with you.
Nope, we should have. Well, I guess the thing is, like I talked about earlier, you know, I've run around the woods a lot and stuff, and I just don't really find woods to be that scary.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, if you grow up in them and everything, it's not a big deal. Me, I'm a city boy, so the woods at dark is kind of creepy.
Anyway, my theory on this voice thing was, let's say ghosts are electromagnetic field, which some people seem to think. I suppose, in theory, they could affect the coil or whatnot, or inductor that's in the microphone, thereby creating some sort of current, which would be recorded by the machinery, even though no sound was actually moving the diaphragm of the microphone. That's kind of my theory.
And that's why when they do pick stuff up, it's not like a voice, usually. It's just kind of...
Well, sometimes like it's... I've seen some shows... God, there's one just on the other day. I don't know what it was, but they're in like a Revolutionary War fort in New York or something, or Pennsylvania. And they did an EVP, and they got a voice back, and it pretty obviously said, what did it say? It said, like, get over there, get in there, get in here, get in there. But, I mean, it was kind of like, but it definitely you could tell it was saying whatever the word was. I can't remember, but.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you don't even have to have the microphone attached sometime. It'll just appear on the tape, but.
Wow.
I don't know. Of course, you know, you also have to consider that at any given point in time, there's 10 gajillion radio frequencies
things
flying around
the
air.
And it's only getting worse these days, so...
Right, and that's been around even longer than magnetic recording, so...
Well, and to kind of tie into this, I mean, it's not recording specifically, but what about... I mean, it's not a specific thing out there, but, you know, like, there's people... You know, kind of with the haunted house thing, you know, but where, like, somebody gets killed in a hotel room or whatever, and a lot of times they won't let people stay in the hotel room anymore, or, like, the whole 13th floor thing, where a lot of tall buildings don't have a 13th floor.
That's just stupid.
And, so what about that? I can't even remember why that is. It's, I mean, it's because 13's unlucky, but I don't know if there was some greater principle to that way back when, but, you know, there's a lot of people that feel that, like, when, you know, somebody gets killed in a home or, mm-hmm. like, actually murdered somewhere, that part of them stays there or whatever, and that the place yeah. is kind of cursed forever.
Well, that's something that's been brought up regarding hospitals. I mean, not surprisingly, hospitals are reputed to be quite haunted. First one would think, okay, why would a person want to stay in the hospital? I mean, they just all they do is basically die in the hospital.
Yeah.
You know? They live their whole life in their home or whatever. Why would they stay in the hospital? But it was just two nights ago, I was at my cousin's birthday party, and her sister works at a hospital. And what was she saying? I mean, she's told us on several occasions that, you know, everybody that works in Richland County okay. believes it's haunted. Like the fourth floor, I think.
Really?
Yeah, and she said they have nurses that won't work on the fourth floor at night and all sorts of shit.
Oh, wow.
And she was going to elaborate, but then we started playing Tippy Cup and everyone got too drunk. But,
damn it.
I'll have to ask her next time, but.
That's interesting.
Well, my sister works at a hospital. She never really said anything, but who knows. The Richland Hospital is fairly old. It's probably over 100 years old, I think. It's sort of old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, so as far as the ghostly voice on tape, maybe it's possible, but I think there's a lot of other electromagnetic garbage that could also be part of it.
Yeah.
So, who knows. Okay, got another one here. See, this is kind of unstructured. We're just going through a list, so whatever. Ancient artifacts, the megaliths, by that I would assume Stonehenge or Easter Island, the crystal skulls, and the Shroud of Turin. Boy, this guy's got a lot of spelling mistakes. Sorry, whoever wrote these.
Yes, the good old Shroud of Turin.
You want to start with that one?
I suppose we could. That's the thing where it's basically like it's Jesus' face is burned into the cloth, right, and they think it's from his
Actually, it's
tomb.
Pretty much a whole body.
But okay,
yeah.
But it's like from his
tomb
where he was for the few days or whatever.
Yeah, and then apparently it can't wash out, and it's on display someplace.
Yeah, it can't wash out, but I mean, realistically, has anybody really tried?
Yeah, it's not like
you know if they think that's what it is.
They're not going to take it down to the laundromat.
They're going to get some bleach out and, you know, go to town on it? I mean, come on. Like, they're going to be like, God damn it, stay away from that. It's an artifact, you know?
So. Oh, and they have all this stuff where they scan it, and they're like, well, if you scan it, you can see all sorts
oh,
of
yeah.
minor three dimensions, and you'd have to be really, really, really talented to paint this and all, but maybe Leonardo da Vinci painted it.
But while we're on, like, the religious stuff, what about the bleeding, the stigmata type stuff?
Oh, like the bleeding Mary statues and
yeah,
whatnot?
Yeah, the bleeding Mary statues or, like, the, you know, all that crap where somebody will, like, get some ice cream someday and they'll see the Virgin Mary in their ice cream or whatever.
And what was the deal with the Virgin Mary? Didn't she appear to, like, three girls in, like, South America in, like, 1912 or thereabouts?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what the
And
hell
then she
called.
Revealed three things, and the third one was a very closely kept secret by the Vatican until only recently.
Oh, really? It's like, well, she was the Madonna, but I can't remember what the hell. Yeah, I can't remember what that's called. Because there's, yeah, that's the place where, like, all these, a lot of Christians, like, make a pilgrimage there to
and
go to
that
fountain.
And one of the girls
fountain.
Is still alive, too, that
really
that she appeared to.
Because there's, like, some well or a fountain there or something.
Well,
I can't remember what it is, but people would go there. To,
it seems to almost be kind of like, definitely Western Hemisphere and almost specifically South American kind of thing or, you know, like a Latin type of thing.
Yeah.
Have you gotten that impression, like, from the geography of these sort of things?
Yeah, it seems pretty concentrated.
And then they had that giant, you know, Jesus statue down in, what is that, Rio de Janeiro?
Yep.
So, so yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of, it's interesting, you know, I don't know.
I did have this idea to laser engrave image of the Virgin Mary into a potato chip and sell it on eBay, but I didn't think anyone would, you know, be fooled.
You never know. Britney Spears has money and can be easily fooled, so you know she might buy it. I think it's one of those things where people will see what they want.
Right,
to
they
see,
might imagine
like, what they
want to
believe.
I'm not trying to lump these two types of things. Well, they're not that different, but the same thing with like a séance, you know.
Yeah, like a Ouija board, that type of crap. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, I've never used a Ouija board, and I don't ever want to, because I just don't even want to go there. I saw The Exorcist.
If you go to these most ghost hunting sites will tell you not to use them because they can conjure demons or something. I don't know.
I mean, I've read stuff, you know, by people that don't really have a reason to bullshit before, and you hear some crazy shit that comes out of those things.
So well,
like, I don't know.
Oh, God. Aren't they... Yeah, the Ouija board, it came from the spiritualism movement of the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I think the Ouija board itself actually came about during the revival of the spiritualism movement, which I believe was around the time of World War I, since a whole bunch of people had died.
Okay.
And Parker Brothers or whoever was like, hey, let's make a Ouija board. So, and I guess even Thomas Edison tried to build a device with which to communicate with the dead. Oh. So, and then, you know, what's his face? Abraham Lincoln was a big-time spiritualist, and he had a dream about his death the morning that he died, and then after he died, his widow was really a spiritualist after that.
Yeah, I read, after we went on our trip to South Dakota, or while we were out there, I bought a book about the presidents, because I hadn't had one of those since I was, like, in first grade or whatever, and so, yeah, I was reading the Abraham Lincoln part, and they talked about that, where he had had that dream, and it had been, like, a recurring dream or something, and it spooked him. And all that, and then it actually came true. There was something, God, I can't remember what it says specifically, but there was like some voice in his dream that, you know, made some comment about if he became president, he wouldn't make it through his second term, or whatever. It was like all this stuff, and it's actually what happened and all that, and he had, like, told his wife about it and all that. And
so he was a modern-day Joseph.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy shit.
Hmm. But, yeah, I think, those movements both kind of center around a large loss of American life, including the Civil War.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what about the crystal skulls? I don't know if you've read anything about those, but, you know, obviously since Indiana Jones is going to try to dig them up.
Yeah, that's about all I know is that it's going to be in that, so.
Well, I guess we can see then, so we'll move on. Okay, we're getting
I'm sure they're cool. Don't they involve aliens or something?
Oh, people think so. But again, it seems to be in, like, Latin America. Okay, what about cattle mutilation? Maybe we should, like, lump that in with aliens.
Oh, like down in Mexico, where that seems to happen quite
a
bit?
Yeah, they have, like, bloodlessly things are removed from them, and people seem to think there's somehow the flesh is cut between the cells, and that's how that's done. Yeah, it's usually their eyeballs, lips, and assholes, or reproductive organs that are removed.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't... Well, yeah,
I mean, I just heard about, you know, I guess I didn't know the gory details, but...
But even if, you know, it's not, like, between the cells, they'll be found dead by the farmers or whatnot out in the fields in the middle of nowhere. You know, like, surgical precision has been used to remove the parts, and they're, like, left there. And then usually they're not even attacked by wolves or other animals afterwards, like they're tainted or something.
And there's no tracks or anything.
It's pretty much just laying there in the middle of the field.
So, huh.
And, of course, everyone thinks it's aliens. But, well, you know, one of the ongoing theories with aliens is, you know, either they're from a dying planet or they're us from the far future. And they've come back in time to mess around with cattle and humans because they have to figure out why they're dying. Or they want to hybrid with us to keep themselves alive. So maybe for some reason bovines are a key to that. I guess I wouldn't know. I'm not an alien. Despite what anyone might think. So, I guess we can come back to that with our aliens.
Yeah, it's definitely a, you know, kind of freak of nature type thing, you know, that you'd almost hope there's some other explanation for it.
Cause it's kind of weird. Knows.
Either there's some really sick bastard doctor running around out there, but...
Well, I don't think it's just in the American West. I think it happens other places, too.
Yeah. It just seems like that's where it's most commonly reported, and from what I've gathered over time.
Okay, now we have a couple... I have Deja Vu and ESP together here.
I hate that, because I'm not a religious person, but I believe in, like, kind of, like, things kind of happen for a reason, and I've had shit like this happen before where it's like, I'll just have that deja vu moment, which I think a lot of people have had, where you'll be sitting there and you'll be like,
"This
I've been here
before. Yeah.
You know, it's really freaking weird. I've had that happen a few times. It's like, I don't know if I dreamed it before, and I kind of saw it happen, and then it actually really happened.
I did read a theory once regarding that, and one theory is that your brain has a, for lack of a better term, timestamp fart. Okay. Like, let's say you were in Windows and you somehow went in and changed the timestamp of a certain file, and like, let's say the file is right now.
Yeah.
And basically, as you're doing something, your brain timestamps it with being a past event. Kind of like an error in your brain.
Yeah.
And that's why, as it's happening,
you think it's happening before.
Right. That's one theory as to why that happens.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, I guess, personally, I would take that as a more plausible explanation. Because I think it's more plausible that your brain would have an error than whatever else the reason might be.
Yeah. There is weird shit that happens, though. Like, it's like, while I'm, you know, up and about and all that, like, it was probably, I don't know, 6 months ago at work, and this shit happens fairly frequently, and it's like, it could be coincidence, but it happens just enough that it seems like it can't really be. But we were at work, and for whatever reason, we were, you know, talking about crap, and for some reason, I can't remember the exact song, let's just say it was We Built the City on Rock and Roll, or no, it was the Duran Duran song from A View to a Kill. So the A View to a Kill song. Somehow that came up in conversation, and then like 20 minutes later, my boss comes out and says, oh, I want to take all you guys out to lunch today. We get to the place to eat lunch, what's playing on the goddamn PA system? That freaking song. Which is just really weird. I mean, it's like a 20, almost 25-year-old song, just totally bizarre. Why would any radio station be playing it? And it's, you know, it's just one of those goofy things where if it just happened, you know, once here or there, it'd be like, you know, yeah, it's coincidence, but I have shit like that happen every few months, and it's just bizarre. Like, something will come up in conversation that you haven't talked about in years, and then, like, bam, somebody later on in the day will make a reference to it that wasn't connected to the conversation.
I have one story like that. But first, I'll say, I don't have deja vus very often, maybe like once a year. Not very often for me. But my story along those lines is, this is probably 4 or 5 years ago. I had a dream in which all my dreams involved the forest and shopping malls, by the way. Don't ask why. But in this particular dream, I went into the future, and I was probably near a shopping mall, and like everybody I knew was dead. But then someone said, oh, you were that guy that used to make Ataris or something. This is in my dream.
Okay.
Right? And it was like a woman in the future said that. And then I think that I pretty much woke up.
Okay.
And then, you know, no big deal. Then later that day, I was at Walmart. And I think I was returning a battery to the thing because, you know, if you buy a battery at Walmart, like a car battery, I mean, you return it and you get $5 back so it can be recycled.
Yeah.
And the girl at the checkout said, hey, aren't you that guy with that website about Ataris? And I didn't realize it at the time, but the thing is, at least at that time, well, still, I mean, it's not like I walked on the street and people are like, oh, you're Ben Heckendorn, you know?
Yeah.
It's more like an internet thing. I mean, every blue moon, maybe I'll run into someone who knows who I am.
Yeah.
But usually they don't. But not 4 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Or 3 years ago. But I didn't think of it. I'm like, yeah, I have a website, blah, blah, blah. She's like, yeah, I've seen your work. I didn't think of it at the time, but then like about 20 minutes later, I thought back, I'm like, oh my God. And I realized that. I'm like, there.
Yeah.
That's my story on that. This is probably 2003 or 2004.
Well, thank goodness, in reality, all your friends weren't dead.
But it was in the future, so, you know, it wouldn't be that bad for you to be dead.
But if the future was, like, you know, that day, so, when you actually ran into that, you know.
That's true, but that was kind of a weird coincidence, because
It'd be an interesting thing for there to be a study on it. Maybe there has been, you know, because maybe they can you know, if it is something like that timestamp thing that guy kind of hypothesized, you know, maybe you can link it to the amount of stress people have in their lives, or, you know, different factors in people's lives, which would affect how often they have this deja vu, you know? Like, if you have more stress in your life, maybe your brain farts a bit more often, you know, and gives you that effect.
Right, but, I mean, this was almost like,
but that was like the precognition, yeah. Which, I've had stuff like that before. Like, I've had stuff where I know I've dreamt it before, and it's happened. It's just freaking weird as shit. It's so weird because you just kind of like, and maybe it lends itself to the timestamp thing, like when it's something you haven't really dreamt, because it's like, you almost kind of sit there and stop for a couple of seconds, like, what the hell?
But like the one I mentioned, I mean, that's a hell of a coincidence, because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's like my Duran Duran thing, you know, it's like, what are the freaking odds of that happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were like so many strange variables that happened there to...
Of course, when someone says, you know, what are the odds of that happening, you know,
there
all
is
the times,
a chance.
Right, all the times it doesn't happen is conceived as normal, so when that does happen, you make the link, and then it seems to be weird, but
yeah.
It's a very slim chance. Okay, well, we probably should move on so we don't go too far over. But yeah, we can come back to that sometime. Yeah. We haven't talked about my cursed shirt yet, but we probably shouldn't.
And we haven't seen Deja Vu with Denzel Washington, despite our propensity for Deja Vu.
Filmed in sunglass-o-vision. Okay, ESP, yeah, well, I guess we already kind of touched on
kinda
that.
Kind of tapped into
that. Yeah, I don't want to talk about those photographs. Okay, biblical aliens. I have this one down here. I also have the Baghdad battery. So.
Oh, is that the thing that was actually in the Ark of the Covenant?
No, the Baghdad years? Battery is something that was found in, get this, Baghdad, and it was...
Really? Was it in Saddam's bunker?
No, this is before Saddam, and basically it was like a jar, and they believe it was used to create like a voltage, but the thing is, it was like a couple thousand years old.
Okay.
And they actually did a Mythbusters too, where they built a bunch of Baghdad batteries, and they put them all in series, and it's like one of those things where you put in like lemon juice or something caustic, basically like a potato battery.
Okay, yeah.
And I think they got like a few volts out of it once they put them all in series.
Hmm.
But basically, it appears to be an ancient battery, and I think it's entirely possible. I mean, you know, someone today might say, well, they couldn't have a battery or a form of a battery in, you know, the time of Christ or ancient Egypt, and well, why couldn't they? You're only saying that out of arrogance because we think we're so cool right now that nobody could have thought of this stuff before.
Yeah, we think we're so cool, yet we can't really figure out how the hell the pyramids got built. So
We don't even know how our own brains work.
Yes. So,
but no, they couldn't have a battery in Egypt.
No.
And, you know, we could go from the Baghdad battery into the Ark of the Covenant is a giant capacitor theory.
Yes.
Well, think about it. You know, all those depictions of it. It's got the two cherubs, and they're like, just like this. It's like a spark gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And think about it. They're carrying this thing. It's got like layers of gold and wood. They're carrying it around the desert on sticks. And you touch it, and you can get a shock and die. Is it really that hard to believe? But maybe that was the point.
Yeah.
But connected to that, some people seem to think the... oh, yeah, actually, this is what they tried to myth bust, is that the Baghdad batteries would be used for, like, electroplating of metals and stuff.
Okay.
And the idea is that Moses or Aaron or any of these other people that, you know... Well, Moses didn't have to build anything, but they would know these, you know, Egyptian techniques, and maybe that's why they're able to make the... Ark of the Covenant into a deadly healing machine.
Hmm.
So, it was a weapon of mass destruction of its time. The other thing is the biblical aliens, and that's the thing where people think a lot of the phenomena in the Bible was the cause, was actually extraterrestrial interference.
Like the parting of the Red Sea and things like that.
The parting
like
of the
that.
Red Sea, and then...
See, like all that Old Testament crazy shit.
Yeah, that's when they didn't fuck around.
You know, you got friggin' scourges, all sorts of crazy shit going on, people parting seas.
Well, okay, after the sea was parted, and, you know, Moses or Charlton Heston was wandering around with Israel, they had, what was it? It was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud of smoke or something by day.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that might have been actually a UFO or some form of a UFO. And there was also this thing... What was it called? Manna from heaven? And I think it fed them or whatnot, and people seem to think that was some sort of device. Well, what else was there? Okay, well, there's that song about Ezekiel seeing the wheel. Well, it's also in the Bible, you know?
Yeah.
Ezekiel sees the wheel way up in the middle of the air. And people seem to think that was a UFO, because there's a wheel within a wheel. It sounds like a mechanism, and it's flying around in the sky, and it's in the frickin' Bible, and I don't know. I mean, this is not even going with the whole, you know, theory about aliens creating us.
Yes.
You know, there's things in the Bible where, how else would a person describe it if they had, you know, they didn't have a concept of...
reference. Like,
right.
Yeah.
So they would, if something flew through the sky, they would call it a chariot.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically something that
Chariot of the Gods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's a conveyance that takes you through the sky, and they're not going to call it a flying saucer. They would call it, you know, a chariot or whatnot. So that's entirely possible. I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know. Well, shall we finish this up with good old Area 51?
Sure. We didn't even touch on the pyramids, for Christ's sakes.
Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, we could.
Yeah, we can go over. I don't really care. This stuff is kind
of
cool.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of ancient Egypt, so the pyramids have always fascinated me. They're like the one place on Earth I figure I have to go before I die.
I agree. That would be cool.
Yeah, but it's... I don't know. They're just so enormous and like so amazing, and, you know, it's... I think it's interesting that today, you know, with all of our technology and all these, you know, great things we can do, whatever and stuff, that it's still, like, impossible for me to grasp how they were constructed. Because they have these elaborate theories, you know, how, oh, well...
Oh, dirt ramps and crap.
Yeah, there's these dirt ramps, and they had all these... There's these lime quarries or whatever that are, like, you know, 50 miles away or 100 miles away and stuff. And I'm like, okay, you're telling me they took these 30-ton... slabs of this shit, drug it, you know, 50 to 100 miles, or got it down the river that far, whatever, and then swung it up this huge thing, you know, it's like...
Do you ever see those recreations where they get, like, a bunch of guys and they try to, like, move a block or whatever? They have a hell of a time with it.
Oh, yeah. And these things, I mean, they're just, you know, enormous, like, the weight of those... chunks of rock. They say it's like 20 tons and stuff like that for some of those. It's
and that's one block.
Yeah.
Well, the Great Pyramid was the tallest structure on Earth until the Eiffel Tower was built, you know, like 3,000 years later.
Thousands of years later, yeah.
And it's also the only remaining of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The rest of them are gone.
Yeah, long gone, too. Like, nothing's been around for...
I think
thousands
the only
years.
Other one that has any sort of any remnant left is, I think, the lighthouse at Alexandria. There might be like a few chunks of it still laying at the bottom of the ocean.
Okay.
But yeah, everything else, like the Colossus of
like
Rhodes,
the
Hanging
Gardens,
they're
all gone. Yeah,
they're pwned.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think they're amazing, and like, you know, there's still some remnants of it, but at the time they were like, they covered them in a coat of lime or whatever, they figure.
Oh, and so, they were really bright.
So they were like very, like these bright beacons there. And they actually, like, line up with the stars in Orion's belt and everything, the constellation, I guess, and...
They all break down into pi.
Yeah. I mean, they're just, you know, the... Not that these people weren't intelligent and couldn't do this, but it's just very crazy, you know, to think of the precision and the brilliance that it took to make those, and, you know, you...
Well,
yeah, of course,
like
to people like us, we got to think aliens did it, you know, and it's like, well, maybe aliens helped, you know, who knows? It's hard to say.
Well, they have that stuff in Peru, too, where they have all the blocks that are, like, all the blocks are carved, and every block, there's, like, zero tolerance between them, and you've seen that stuff. It just, like, it looks just perfectly intricate.
Yeah, it's just...
So what your point is, you just find them amazing, or you wonder if there's more to it?
I think they're, you know... The great mystery, really, of, you know, the world in a way is, you know, they've been around for thousands of years and we still don't know how the hell they got there, really.
That's true, because they lingered.
Yeah, you know, they're still there, you know, kind of mocking us in a way.
Right, yeah, even more, I mean, let's say you have a shroud of Turin or whatnot. I mean, it's like a piece of cloth that a person could, you know, paint on.
Manipulate or something,
yeah. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to debate its authenticity, but... But then to make a frickin' pyramid, that's not just like one little thing. Or a person can make Bigfoot prints if they wanted, you know?
Yeah.
But you can't hoax a pyramid. It's there. You got to deal with it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're getting at, right?
Mm-hmm. And they did, you know, it did take like 26 years or whatever to build them, I guess. But, you know, it's just a incredible undertaking. I mean, you look at shit today, some of these, you know, buildings they build, it takes like a year or two, you know, like these football stadiums and crap, it'll take like a year or two to build the damn thing. It's like, that's with all of our technology, all of our resources, all of our cranes and all this shit we've got, and it still takes us like a couple of years to crap out like a little football stadium, you know, where this is just people with their hands and the river and picks and shit, and they were able to, you know, somehow build those enormous structures in, you know, 20-some years.
Have you ever heard of the Coral Castle?
No.
It's a... Well, it's a castle made of coral. I think it's in Florida or something. This ties into the Egyptians. Some dude... This was a long... this was like in the early 1900s or something. This one guy, he didn't have very much money. He, like, worked odd jobs. But over the course of, I don't know, like a few decades... It's not really a castle per se, but there's all these, like, monuments and objects. It's kind of like a Stonehenge of coral. It's in America. And what did he do? He only worked at night. No one ever saw him working. And he only had, like, an old flatbed truck or some piece of shit truck.
Okay.
But yet he arranged all these things made out of coral that weighed many, many tons. And there's, like, a doorway where it's a huge block of coral. It has an axle or axis on it, and it's perfectly dead center to the center of gravity for the rock. So it's this big, huge, like, 20-ton block of coral, and you can push it with your finger, and it acts as a door.
Wow.
And anyway, his explanation, he wouldn't tell anyone how he did it. All he said was that he unlocked the secrets of the ancient Egyptians, and that's how he did it. Of course, some people think he also might have used something called ancient concrete, which is the theory that you have some sort of, well, an concrete from an ancient time that's formed into something that becomes as a rock.
Okay.
Which, obviously, it would be a lot easier to make... I mean, like, if you're able to, like, bring buckets of slurry or whatever and pour them into a mold to make a block for the pyramid, that would obviously be a lot easier than moving the block itself.
Yes.
But who knows how they would do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not exactly sure where it is, but it's called the Coral Castle.
Hmm.
As in coral from the sea.
C-O-R-A-L.
Yes.
There you
not go. Corel, which makes... Corel draw.
Yes. Speaking of pyramids, what about the... I know you mentioned this to me at one time, that supposedly somewhere here in Wisconsin, there's like a lake and there's a pyramid in it.
Yeah, it's Rock Lake. It's between Madison and Johnson Creek.
Okay.
I guess there's a couple. They're like 100 feet long and about 16 feet high. And I guess they're supposed to be pretty old, but they're hard to get at.
Well, that's the thing that's kind of interesting, too, you know, is back in the... those ancient times, like when that was going on in Egypt, you know, the similar structures are being built, like in South America and everything, like by the Mayans and the Incans and Aztecs.
Yeah.
And, you know, not on the same scale and not the same way, but, you know, similar structure-wise. And, you know, it's interesting that in two parts of the world where they supposedly had no knowledge of one another, they were, you know, building similar structures.
Right. I think there might be kind of, not, I wouldn't say a subconscious connection, but more a logical one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Making something in a pyramid form, obviously, it makes it the most stable because it has no, you know...
Yeah, large base, yeah.
Well, it has large base, and it's not like a building that goes straight up. It can't shift or lean or shear.
Yeah.
But also, you know, most of these cultures worship the sun gods, the stars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So building up toward them made sense because it made you closer to God or the gods. And, you know, by having a base, it is a very simple way to build. I mean, I know it's not simple in execution, but in design.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, look at outer space, you know. Most of the planets form into a ball. The reason they do that is because, you know, of gravity.
Gravity
just kind of,
yeah.
Or if you have, like, a drop of water on a table, it becomes a ball. I mean, just things kind of naturally...
Yeah, go that way.
Go that way. Yeah. And, you know, humans don't really think of... I mean, it's obviously harder to do something that's a perfect circle than a perfect square.
Yeah.
So they kind of take... This is a very obvious way to make something.
Yeah.
Or maybe the aliens, you know, gave the secrets between them.
Yeah, you never know. One or the other.
Well,
yeah, that is the interesting thing, too, is that these huge structures, you know, like the Great Pyramids in particular, they're tombs, you know, like for the god on Earth, basically.
And they're built, basically, as soon as he becomes pharaoh until he dies.
Yeah, and it's, you know, so like this huge pyramid that took like 26 years to build, it was just so they could throw a dude's body in there. You know, it's all that thing did. It's like... You know, pretty amazing. It, you know, they looked at him as being God on Earth and all that, and it's like, who knows, maybe... I don't know, maybe it was...
Maybe he was.
Yeah, there's lots of crazy
Isn't there a
shit
shaft in the Great Pyramid that points up...
Yeah, from the, where the body, like where the...
like the vent to heaven?
Is. Yeah, and it vents out, and it's like...
God, oh, and it's not straight up either. It's like it's north.
At an angle through it, yeah. And it
isn't it to the North Star? You know, the point where all the stars rotate around.
Yeah, and it's like perfect. It's like, you know, it's some pretty amazing engineering back then. Like, the crap we do today doesn't hold a candle to the shit they were doing back then, I don't think.
Yeah, nobody really builds any mysterious buildings anymore. They just put up, like, Starbucks.
Yeah, just shitty big boxes and stuff.
You never know. Maybe in 3,000 years, they'll find a Best Buy. They'll be like, what's
this,
this
is amazing. What are these words?
Best Buy? Service plan? What's going on? Maybe they interred their kings here.
We must investigate.
Well, anything else you want to touch on? I think we're kind of out of time.
I think that's good. So I think we've established that we believe aliens exist, but we don't really know what they're responsible for.
I've never seen... Well, I did sort of that one.
You kind of sort of saw that something that
I think we talked about
sky.
That on here before, didn't we?
Yeah, it was like one of the early podcasts.
So...
But yes, that you encountered something strange outside of Belleville, which is the self-proclaimed UFO capital of the world, so...
What would Roswell say about that?
I don't know, they'd probably piss on it, but...
Well,
that's all right.
Want to talk about Roswell briefly?
Yeah, we could touch on that, I
what
guess.
What do you think?
I don't know. I guess since I believe in aliens, I can't really deny...
Okay, here's a question for you. Okay. You think the government or some part of the government knows about aliens?
Sure. Yeah.
George Bush won. Oh, actually, I'll preface it. Jimmy Carter saw an alien, UFO, outside of Air Force One when he was president.
Oh, yeah.
And he asked, was it CIA? Herbert Walker Bush was
the
head of the CIA,
CIA
wasn't it?
I believe, yep.
And Carter's like, hey, can you tell me tell me about aliens or whatever? He's like, sorry, I can't. Yeah, got shut down because obviously the president is not privy to this information.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the... I think, as far as I know, that's the only president that's ever seen a UFO.
Wow.
But I think they... Well, they know all sorts of crap.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of shit that, you know, we'll never know about. That. But, you know, there's all the stuff you can tie back to that time, you know, like how the microchip came around and...
Well, and atomic bombs.
And the atomic bombs. And, you know, all that stuff came around right in that same period of time. And it's like...
Of course, you never know. Maybe... The nuclear arms race, which, you know, really, I mean, it didn't just begin with Reagan. It started way back in the 50s with Eisenhower and all that.
Yeah.
But maybe it was a extraterrestrial deterrent. I mean, maybe they just...
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, you know, I bet they're advanced and all, but I bet if you hit a UFO smack dab with an ICBM, it'd probably be
It'll probably go down, yeah. I bet you it won't have a shield.
Well, what probably happened was Ike went up there with his MacBook, and he was able to bring it down. but you know what? Even though everyone's like, well, the government, they know obviously know about this, and they should, you know, tell the world. Actually, I don't believe that, though.
No, because it'd freak everybody out, is the thing. There's certain things that... The public probably doesn't really need to know.
And if they knew, they probably wish they wouldn't.
Yeah.
They would like, I wish I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that's probably what's going on there.
Because you look at all the advances just in the last, you know, 50-some years compared to the rest of time, and it's kind of staggering, really.
So now you're going with the whole Men in Black kind of theory, or...?
Oh, kind of. You know, I mean, it's like, you gotta kind of wonder. It's like, what was the thing that, you know, all of a sudden made us be able to start, you know, like, they came up with, like, the polio vaccine, and, you know, now they can do all this stuff, and then with the medical science, and all that stuff was pretty iffy before. I mean, they were throwing leeches on people and shit, you know, before that.
The transistor was shortly after Roswell, or wasn't that, like, the early
50s? Like, the semiconductor-type stuff and all that, too, or just...
Yeah, well, the first, actually, the first integrated circuit was, like, what, 1968?
Yeah.
But
it's, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that it seems like is, you know, like, you know, now we're digging into the human genome. You know,
how about this? Did the aliens give it to us, or did we find their shit and reverse engineer it?
Yeah, that's the real question.
Maybe a combination of both?
Because it's like, how would we communicate with them is the other thing. You know, it's like, unlike in the movies, everybody doesn't speak English. Like, I don't think all aliens would speak English. And, you know, we speak to them through mathematics and stuff, because there's a lot of people that believe that mathematics are, like, the universal language. And so, it, well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'd be able to give it to us. We might have to reverse engineer their stuff.
Well, there's some people that think that the aliens started giving us this crap.
Yeah.
And then in exchange, we said, okay, mutilate all the cattle you want and abduct people from every so often. This is like a secret pact.
Yeah. Well, and there's the thing, too, you know, where it's like maybe the aliens aren't that smart either. You know, like people always think these aliens are, you know, this ridiculously smart, bloodthirsty thing and all that. You know, maybe they're like, you know, nice pacifists that are kind of dumb or something.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
it's possible. You know, the movies always portray them, you know, like, oh, they're evil, they're coming to kill us.
Well, that's because it's not as interesting as having them be nice.
Yeah.
Of course, an E.T. made more money than any of those other movies.
Yes. That's... But we weren't nice to E.T.
Elliot was.
Well, Elliot was, but
give
you know,
Reese's Pieces.
All those damn scientists.
They were sort of, they tried to save him.
And all those guys with the walkie-talkies, you know, instead of those guns. Those damn walkie-talkies, man.
If I ever run into an alien, I hope I have a walkie-talkie. There's an episode of South Park you should see. I can tell you about it later. But
it's not the one with the anal probe, is it?
No.
Okay.
All right, we should probably wrap this up. But
yeah, I suppose so.
We'll probably talk about a technology or gaming next time.
Yes. This is kind of fun to do off-topic stuff.
Yes.
Someday we can talk about conspiracy theories, and then maybe we really will need Nicolas Cage to save us.
Maybe that'll be our next mystery topic. All right, well, for now, this is BenHeck.com Podcast, Mysteries of the Unexplained, signing off.
Arrivederci.
Happy mystery hunting.
With aliens.